everybody. Welcome back to Android App Addicts. I am your host, Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel. And Eric is still temporary duty yonder. He'll be back hopefully next week. But the man you're really here to see is, of course, here with us, the door-to-door geek, Mr. Steve McLaughlin. Hey, Steve. Hey, door. I called you Steve. I'm sorry. I just lost my cool title. I called you Steve.
I'll just take it as a slip. Because, you know, we all make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. I keep having, like, drill that into my kids constantly every day. Nobody's perfect, man. Don't worry if you make a mistake. Just keep doing other stuff. I'm doing pretty good, even though I think this is a crazy week, and I'm pretty sure I'm thinking I might have a hernia. Tomorrow I got to go for a, I don't want to say they said ultrasound, but I'm thinking MRI, but I don't know.
So is this the hiatal hernia, like around the rib area or lower? Oh, that's not good.
Lower. No, not good. And I would say this. My 8-year-old, God bless him, I love him. And he has cuteness down to an algorithm kind of thing. I'm pretty sure him asking me to pick him up and me picking him up and holding him, still he's 8 years old, I think is one of the excuses I have towards having this hernia. So the last couple of days, no, I'm not picking you up. I'll get down on my knees and then you can hug me. There you go. Good boy. Good boy. I'm not picking you up.
Quick anecdote. My day job is helping physicians with a particular brand of software. And occasionally I have to go in the room with the patient and the doctor to help them do their job. And I found myself in that case this week. And the patient was just kind of a good old boy. And he had a problem. He suspected he had that same problem. He just stood up and dropped his shorts. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll just be right over here if you need me. Nothing I need to see in this room at this point. I've never been that guy.
Yeah, and I'll say, when I went there, my son had an appointment an hour earlier or 2 hours earlier for his toe, for the doctor to look at the toe. So when they called me in, I said to the nurse who was walking me back, I said, is there a place my son can sit while they're looking at me? She said, oh, yeah. I said, you know, because I'm, you know, with a hernia and everything. She said, oh, yeah. Then she walked me and my son to the same room and said, he can sit right here.
No, that's not what I meant.
And I just looked at her, looked at my son, looked at her, looked at my son. Okay, I'll just say something to the doctor because apparently she just doesn't.
Son, you turn your head while I cough.
No coughing involved, which I thought was weird. Then she's also having me go to a urologist, which when I called up their urologist, they said, we don't see you for hernias. I said, oh, okay. How about for general pain? They said, we can do that. I said, we'll make an appointment for that.
Okay. Well, clearly she didn't think it was if she was sending you to a urologist. Who knows?
I'll just say she doesn't have the hardware on her person, so I'm not fully competent in her decision.
See, that's a whole different road to go down. But when you know you got to have that procedure done, would you rather have a woman or a man doing it?
With the pain, I didn't care. It could have been a well-trained chimpanzee, for all I care. As long as he,
you could go either way, right? If there's somebody, you know, who's going to be inspecting the family jewels, you know, the opposite gender might be the most appropriate. But in other cases, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I would prefer one to be as well versed as
the internal working. Well, you know, that's true. You want firsthand knowledge?
Yes, very firsthand knowledge.
Okay, I didn't intend to make that double entendre, so we're just gonna back slowly away from the pun.
Okay, and I'll say I might end up having a surgery, and my dad just had a surgery Monday, so apparently this is the time of year McLaughlin's have surgeries, I guess.
Well, I hope everything goes well. Everything comes out all right. Anyway. So yes. Something I wanted to talk about to start the show off. I've mentioned in the recent past that I've embarked on the cord cutters journey. And so I'm looking at, in this new house, I finally have for the first time since I had a child, so almost 14 years now, I have a dedicated man space. I previously had that. In my old house, we had a 3-bedroom house. It was just the two of us there originally. And we had a guest bedroom and I had an office. And then when my wife got pregnant, for some reason, we still needed the guest bedroom, but now we needed a nursery. I still don't quite understand why I was the one who had to lose out, but that's neither here nor there. So now I have my own little space. So I've been looking at what media to put in there and or what sort of device. And looking at my cord cutter options, I know you guys had a discussion in my absence. I think it was on this show. It might have been the Mini PC show about the Roku. And you correctly said that I would say, you know, if in doubt, get a Roku. Except that some of the Roku doesn't have some of the best cord cutting options. Like, for example, the TiVo app. I have a hardware TiVo with a digital antenna plugged in. And there's not an app there available on the Roku. And I understand that's a competing market. I get why. So when I looked down, you know, started doing all the research, even including like a full on PC running, a PC running Linux or Windows, everything was missing something except for our old friend, Android TV. Android TV checks all the boxes. You have to sideload Amazon Prime, but you can do it.
Okay, for Amazon Video, right?
There's a Netflix, obviously, and depending on the device, you can get full 4K HD and on Amazon. There's a TiVo app. There's a PlayStation View app. There's a Sling app. So there's Hulu. Yeah. So Android TV, our old buddy, which, by the way, nobody believes in anymore, including Android, including Google. They've given up on Android TV. So when I started looking at that, I started trying to decide, what's the device? So if you go to eBay or Amazon or anywhere and just type in Android TV, you're going to find a slew of $40 Chinese boxes. I have one of those $40 Chinese boxes, and it's okay as a running Kodi and pulling local media. It does that flawlessly. Standard def Netflix, it's good enough, but it's only standard def. But when you start getting into some of the other more esoteric things with DRM, for example, no go. Dora, last week you said it's probably already rooted. Try loading Super User on it. And you were right. It was already rooted, which is probably the cause of some of the problems. There are lots of things out there that just look at root and say, oop, nope. So I started looking at what is the box. And every time, everywhere I looked, the clear winner, it's not even close. The second choice really is not even in the same category, is the NVIDIA Shield game device. At $200, it's on the pricey side, but it's got a 250 core GPU in it.
Okay, well, price right. per core, then that makes it only like 68 cents a core.
So I don't have one yet. I know you guys have talked about the Shield tablet, but this is the NVIDIA Shield Android TV, and it doesn't seem to matter where you buy it. It's $199. Everywhere you go. But the device is just spec-wise, it's some of the most amazing hardware you're going to find anywhere. And it comes with a controller. It's a gamer's box. That's what it's designed for, 4K gaming. But you can buy a remote that, like the Amazon's box, the Fire TV, and the Roku, you can plug headphones into the remote and listen to your media that way. So that's probably where I'm going to go when I scrape up a couple of hundred extra dollars, and I'll let you know what I find out. But that is, you know, a discussion point for us, Dor, but also a query to the listeners. Do you guys know of anything that can even come close to the NVIDIA Shield Android TV? Because I haven't found anything at all.
I mean, anything I say is going to be a hack, and a real product typically works more seamless than a hack. The only hook or crook in content that you didn't mention is for those people who like to partake in streams of events that are going on live that they did not pay for. But I do know if you load Kodi or XBMC via Android, there is a plugin I heard on this show, and I believe maybe it was this one show from this one guy called Geek Ran on episode 243, maybe.
I'm just saying there is a thing.
But they had to listen to episode 243.
I don't know if it works on Android. I haven't tried it on Android. It works on my Pi. I mean, on some people's, allegedly, on the Pi. You're right.
Reports say. I would expect virtually every plugin to work on either one. It doesn't matter. The only thing, and you're not going to know this unless you know somebody who already has one, but are all those apps able to be installed normally? Like, can you sideload APKs from Amazon or, you know, APKs? Or if you go to install Hulu, will it tell you not compatible with your device? Because in the back in the day, the big name companies used to purposefully block certain stuff every now and then. But for some reason, I think Valve is one of those manufacturers that people don't extremely hate yet. So I could foresee a lot of companies just saying, yeah, let them put it on the box.
So just reading some of the specs of the NVIDIA Shield, a Tegra X1 processor, NVIDIA Tegra, so it's their own processor, 3 gigs of RAM, 256 core GPU, 4K playback at 60 frames per second, with MPEG, XVID, DivX, they've paid for licenses for all these codecs, 7.1 pass-through surround sound at 24-bit 192 kilohertz over both HDMI and USB, so you can plug in a USB sound system to it. It's got a gigabit Ethernet, it's got HDMI 2.0, a USB 3 port on it, and a micro SD card slot so that you can, you know, between the USB and the micro SD, you've got all kinds of storage you need. Now, they sell one with a 500 gig hard drive for $399. I can get a 500 gig hard drive for a lot less than $100. But the 16 gig flash RAM version is $199. And I've looked at, like I said, I've looked at all the regular suspects, and none of them can come even close to those specs. And not just specs, support. That's a big deal. It's running Android 6.0. Most of them are running Lollipop or KitKat.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll say in my experience, because experience is everything as far as I'm concerned, my first Nexus 7 tablet had a NVIDIA processor in it. And I believe it did have like 128 video cores, something ridiculous. There was nothing I could throw at that tablet back in the day and have it even begin to slow down, because that OS was extremely optimized for that system. NVIDIA, major corporation, you're going to get a heavily optimized Android experience. Graphically, I don't know what it wouldn't be able to keep up with, period. And I'm firmly believing that they're not just going to let this thing drop off and be forgotten about. It's going to take a while. And with a lot of the Android TV boxes, the cheaper ones, you get them, you plug them in, and when you first load it up, you realize they didn't even customize the OS to much whatsoever, because you load it up and you see an email app and a calendar app and a contacts app. And where, you know, NVIDIA will go, not that extra step, but that extra mile, and try to make it an actual exclusive type experience while you're on that device. And to be honest, the gaming on it to me is like completely secondary. Even if I love playing games, I wouldn't buy it for the gaming experience, but I'm sure a couple of the times when you boot a game up on it, it's going to run just fine.
It's the only Android box I know of that has a full function transcode capable Plex server app.
Yeah. That was one of the, I think, the deciding factors, because the gimmick is, if you connect an external hard drive and you have it hosting the media, to take the locally media right there, transcode it, and push it right to the TV requires zero bandwidth. You don't have to worry about the kids watching YouTube or the wife watching Netflix or whatever. When you have your content right there, you know it's always going to come over pristine. Right.
So there we go, audience. What do you know about it? What do you think about it? Are there better options? I'd like to pay less than $200. Honestly, I think that hardware is worth $200, but because I'm a tightwad, I'd like to pay less. So that's all I got for you. Let's start with an email before we get to the apps. And our friend Soham responds to our response to his bringing an app to us, the Android Battery Saver. It says, "Hey guys, I think I didn't make myself clear in the last email. The Battery Saver feature in Android," so he's talking about the OS feature, "not only turns off most background data, but I believe it automatically underclocks your phone's CPU. It says that it, quote, reduces your device's performance in the description. Gaming is probably not the best scenario to use it. Perhaps browsing the web or Reddit is. That's what when I have it on. The battery life on the 5X is okay, but being in an area with one or two bars of signal really affects battery life adversely. Keep up the great work, Soham." That is true. Nothing will kill a battery faster than low signal, either cell or wireless.
Yeah, and to be honest, that's one of the things that I don't want to say I take for granted, but typically when I'm going places, it's great. Where it sucks at majorly is at home, because I live on a peninsula So literally, I can only hit one tower, and it is not close to my house. So if I right now turn off Wi-Fi, I'm lucky to get like edge.
Who's your carrier?
T-Mobile.
I can help you out. I have an AT&T micro cell just laying around. It's an extra one. I can send that to you.
Gotcha, gotcha. And I will say, I'm hearing a lot of Project Fi buzz, but I'm not willing to take that juice just there yet, because then I would have to be locked into certain hardware.
You know, Eric, he would be able to speak to that. He's loving the Fi, but I'm just not convinced that unless you live in a significantly metropolitan area, you're not always going to get a Wi-Fi signal, which means you're not going to get the benefit. I mean, the whole point of the Fi project is to not use mobile data. And if you're not near good, strong access points, like, you know, even where I live now, just in the cul-de-sac, I can open up my devices, and I see lots of them there, but none of them are strong. So it's not going to help in my situation. So I'm not with you yet on the Fi, Eric, but, you know, maybe someday.
Well, everybody I know that has it swears up and down by it. And I do believe, when I'm at a mall or when I'm at the, you know, industrial complex set up with all the stores with the wife, or even McDonald's, if I have the Wi-Fi turned on, when it connects to a trusted zone, it's going to create a VPN tunnel, which is technically safer than any other Wi-Fi I could connect to. And I do believe when I'm out and about, it could help me a great deal in reducing the amount of bandwidth I use over mobile carriers. But I'm still pushing 40 plus gig a month. And I saw a thing today or yesterday. Verizon is changing their unlimited. So if you're using more than 100 gigs a month, you're going to be cut off at 100 gig. And I first thought to myself, I pounded my phones and I could only get like 56, 58 gig a month. And then I realized it also included people using it as a home internet source. Well, there's no doubt in my mind I'm using probably on my home internet easily 200 gigs a month. So if you are an unlimited Verizon data customer, you might not be. Well, you won't be, because they're going to change your unlimited status, but you might not be a Verizon customer for much longer either.
There's that. Speaking of people changing terms, you have an opinion on the whole Netflix raising prices thing?
Can't blame them. I would. Yeah. Period. I mean, it's the kind of service that America is becoming accompanied. You know, they just expect it. Kind of thing. It is becoming such part of the psyche, and the people that use it, I think, truly abuse the crap out of it. Netflix also makes it no qualms about it. You can share your account with family members. That alone, those two things alone, I'm shocked they're not getting ready to charge $20 a month. Them to only raise it to, I think it is $12 a month.
No, it's from 8 to 10.
From 8 to 10. Okay. If that's the point where you as a customer says, well, that's too much, well, then you're obviously not using it like the majority of other people. And
I think the real outrage is that Netflix promised to grandfather in people who had accounts prior to the price rate, because it's been 10 for a while. But some of us, I was one of them, I've had my account for a long time, we're grandfathered in at that $8 rate. And that's just for the streaming. So I still get the one disc at a time method. I'm the one guy hanging on in North America that still gets discs. And I think I pay 17, something like that a month, which I consider totally worth what the value I get out of it. And so they sent me an email and said, hey, just a, you know, fair warning. We told you we'd grandfather you in, and you've been grandfathered for 2 years now, but going into this third year, we're going to raise your price $2. And I thought, okay, it didn't bother me in the least. But apparently, not only did a lot of people freak out, but there's actually a class action lawsuit about a breach of implied contract. Liners.
Exactly. I mean, it's a service you know you use, you know you abuse, you know you like, you know you need to a degree. Just shut up and pay the money. And I say that being a honorary tightwad, but the bottom line is, like, for instance, my wife, Supernatural. For years, she said, I'm never going to watch the show. Her cousin told her they're hot. And she said, I'm still not watching it. Like, literally a month and a half ago, no, maybe 2.5 months ago, she decided, okay, I'm going to start watching it. She watched 11 seasons worth, over 250 episodes of that freaking show. I'll say she got her money's worth. They could be charging us $40 a month. My wife got her money's worth out of that event. And anytime there's a price increase with that, I can tell you now, my wife doesn't even mention it to me. She just, we're going to pay more money. Yes, we will.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Because, and the kids abuse the crap out of it too. I mean, when the kids found out they could watch all those horrible movies that I can't stand over and over and over again, like Spy Kids 3D, they could watch for 3 weeks straight.
Right.
They fell in love.
And you hit the number there. I think for me, $30 is about the point at which I would start to say, huh, do I really want this in my life? But anything below that, I'm just going to pay it.
Yeah. And to be honest, I expect in 2 or 3 years, Amazon Video to be approaching where people would say to themselves, I could picture spending $8 or $10 a month for that. Because I believe this is the year they're going to start to go completely insane about trying to make quality content. Once that new Top Gear, that's not Top Gear, but with the Top Gear guys, but not in BBC, but in America, as soon as that show launches, they're going to start getting attention, I tell you what.
They have some very highly critically acclaimed things. I haven't watched any of the Amazon original stuff. I started Man in the High Castle, got a couple of episodes in and gave up on it. But, you know, just because it's not for me doesn't mean it's not good.
Right. And as soon as that Top Gear that's not Top Gear, but it is Top Gear people, I'm going to start watching more Amazon Video, a.k.a. any Amazon Video. I've been a Prime member now for over 2 years. The only thing I've ever watched on Amazon Prime was like the first season of Star Trek, The Next Generation. And I was reminded what it meant to be,
right?
The first season on Star Trek, yeah. Next Generation, which is much lower, much
Next
lower
Generation and costs. Voyager. That's pretty much the only things I watch on Amazon Prime. Every now and then we'll fire up a movie. You know, they don't have a lot of first run stuff yet. The catalog is growing, but it's in the mix enough that it's one of the things that I consider when I'm, you know, looking at hardware. But it's not something that I use a lot. But the fact that it is a free add-on to Prime. You know, I pay $125, it went up, and I pay that for free next day shipping. That's the reason I pay for it. The rest of it is a bonus. And the fact that I get Amazon Music and Amazon Video and 5 or 10 gigs, I forget the amount, of Amazon Cloud Storage, those are all bonuses to the feature.
Right. Yeah, and I'm sure they're quite content with not a lot of people taking advantage of those features. But I'm also sure they would love to be able to say in 5 years, you know, that extra content, that's going to cost you more money. You know, because I'm sure Bezos has some kind of
master. Well, at some point, he's going to have to start generating revenue. He hasn't yet. He hasn't. Amazon's been around a long time. They haven't made a profit.
Well, they overtook Walmart as one the top grossing, I can't remember what the term was, but store. Quote-unquote store in the U.S. this year. So if they're not poised to make a profit, I really don't
Bezos is playing a long game. And just a bit of shopping advice. Amazon for a long time was the place to go for low prices. That is not the case anymore. Often you pay much more on Amazon than you do if you shop around a little bit. So if you've just sort of instinctively buying from Amazon because they were the lowest price, they've pivoted there. They're not the low price leader anymore. They're the convenience leader. And so just be aware of that. When you're shopping at podnuts.com/Amazon, you may or may not be getting the lowest price anymore. All right, we've had a whole lot of talk about everything but apps. So, Dor, please bring us an app.
Okay, well, to make a call back, for an app that would look spectacular on that NVIDIA Shield TV player, it's not a PG game. It is a mature, quote-unquote, game, mature 17 and up, called Unkilled. It's by a top developer, Mad Finger Games, which I think is a fantastic name. 266,999 reviews. Ooh, okay. 4.4 with 189,000 plus 5-star reviews. This has been around at least a little while. Let's just say that. Installs between 5 million and 10 million installs. I don't even see a version number. But this is a very high resolution game is what I'm going to say. This game does everything in its power, quote unquote, to be as high res, high detailed as you can possibly get. Gore, blood, zombies, shooting, heads exploding, everything that's mature about a game is in this game. But I can tell you, playing this for like 3 minutes on a little teeny tiny screen, and you instantly say to yourself, I need to play this on a bigger screen.
And that's where we are. We've reached the point where our hardware has matured to the point where this is the NVIDIA Shield that we were talking about earlier can match spec for spec anything that the Sony original PlayStation had, or my beloved Dreamcast. You know, you're talking, that's what, 15 years ago, but that's where we are now in phone in devices that are in our pocket. So it's really pretty amazing where we are, and more to the point where we're headed.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time before these things really do hit that network effect of becoming ridiculously popular for this kind of game. And I will say there is some kind of multiplayer. I believe it's local LAN only, true multiplayer missions, which I will say that's going to be one of the hurdles they're going to have to try to figure out. And here's why I think it's a little bit harder. Desktop PC gaming, 99.999% of the time, you're hardwired into the network. Steve C, back in the day, every time someone said they wanted to be on a show, one of his prerequisites was you have to be hardwired. Because Wi-Fi, even with this, even with the voice video chat back and forth, you would have anomalies and artifacts happen once in a while. Multiplayer gaming through wireless signals cannot be easy, I say. But with the Shield having a gigabit port on it, it to me broadens the possibility of having true multiplayer.
And the other hang-up is control surface. Essentially, all mobile games right now have two controls, three. Swipe, tap, and tilt. That's all you have to work with. And if you pick up any serious gaming console controller now, they're going to have 10 buttons, you know, minimum of six.
I was going to say, I think the one that I saw literally had something like 14. It was like ridiculous. I mean, they have went input crazy. We're back in the day, if me or Mark, teenager, with our NES controller with four buttons on it, would see one of these controllers, we would just like lock and freeze up.
I can see your NES and raise you an Atari 2600. One button, one joystick. And we're a little better than that in the phone realm, but not a lot. You're really limited in what you can do. So when I look at this game here, the graphics are clearly pretty amazing, but I'm willing to venture a bet that the gameplay is pretty boring because it's all about timing the swipe or the tap.
Well, this does support Bluetooth controllers. 99.999% sure. I could have swore this was one of the ones I used. So you do have, you can actually walk around. There is strafe, turn, pivot, look up, look down, shoot, reload, throw hand grenade kind of
so
stuff.
So it's an Android app not designed to be used on Android devices. This is designed to be used on the NVIDIA Shield and others like it.
To be honest, I think that's what it is. I don't think they expect normal phone-faring people to download this and have a heck of a lot of fun unless you're crazy, crazy dedicated to patience, because I can't see touch controls being too friendly in this one.
All right, let me get back to the email bag here. Adam Flint lets us know, but I think we discussed it very briefly. He says, guys, have you seen the news? Classic Nintendo NES returns to store. So Nintendo is a fully branded actual Nintendo device. They're releasing a small handheld Nintendo SNES, complete with controllers with the buttons, the four buttons on it. It's probably a Raspberry Pi type controller in it. It's got 30 built-in games with no ability to expand, as I understand it, at least not at this point. Neat little device. I won't be purchasing one.
I don't have a choice. Pavlov's dog. Nintendo rang the bell. I salivate. The unit, it looks like the controller is the old classic controller size and shape. The console itself is the same width as that controller. That's how small the console is. There's no doubt it. Whatever is in it is cheaper and less capable than a Raspberry Pi. I can guarantee you, if a Pi is $35, what they have in this thing is like $5, because you don't need a lot of horsepower for that old stuff. There's pluses and minuses to it. The minuses is, versus a true emulation on your own software, there is going to be no rewind, there's going to be no save state, there's going to be no kinds of hacking, no kinds of tweaking. It's literally going to be load a game, power, reset, exit a game, and that's it. You're only going to have your standard saves, more than likely. You're probably not going to be able to save wherever you want in a game. So with Zelda, you're going to have to literally like power off the system how you had to back in the day. So there's going to be drawbacks compared to what a lot of emulator fans already have. To me, it's the nostalgia of looking over and saying, hey, see that right there? That's a Nintendo. And if I want to, I can, you know, power up some Metroid or some Zelda 1 or some Super Mario Brothers or some Super Mario Brothers 2 or some Super Mario Brothers 3 or, you know, keep going.
Final Fantasy, Dr. Mario, Double Dragon 2. Okay, you had me at Double Dragon. Mega Man, Kirby's Adventure, Mario Brothers, Castlevania, Super Mario 1, 2, and 3, Ghosts and Goblins, Tecmo Bowl. Come on, Dor. Zelda 2. $60. It'll be on sale just in time for Christmas. Comes with one controller. You can buy a separate controller. You know, I may have just changed my mind when I said I'm not going to be buying one of these. This may be on my Christmas list because, I mean, me and my kids sitting around playing Super Mario Brothers, how could I not want that for $60?
Well, and you know, the gaming experience is going to be near perfect. The control is going to be perfectly matched towards the game. And like, unlike a lot of other devices like this, they have one or two really good games or three or four really good games, and then they have a plethora of just games you either never heard of or games that just completely suck. Almost all these games are top shelf games. So, yeah.
All right. That's a thing. Thank you, Adam Flint, for pointing it out to us. Now, Mr. Geek, once again, please bring us an app.
Okay, the app I'm going to bring here... Oh, man, I hate when this frigging OBS decides to forget what page I'm on. The app I'm bringing here is called Control F. Literally, it's called CTRL-F, Search the Real World. Okay, this is a little bit misrepresented, is what I'm going to say. They give you the impression of you put in a search term, you point your camera at something, and it can find words in the real world, kind of like a real-world Control F. While that is the case, what it actually does is you take a picture of something, and it tries to OCR it, and then you can search the text in it. So it still does serve the purpose it says that it serves, but you have to take the picture, you have to wait for processing, and you have to hope the text is clear enough for OCR to pick up on the word correctly. I know back in the day, literally, maybe 7, maybe 8 out of 10 words would be read right, and literally the rest of the words you would have to either go in and fix or just live with the mistakes. I literally just found this today, did not load it on anything yet, did not try anything yet, but if it can get 9 out of 10 words right in the OCR, OCR has grown past the point where I didn't even think it was going to be possible, because for the longest time, it just wasn't there.
So my shortened version of Dor's review, it's Evernote, only harder to use.
And free and local.
And you can export it as PDFs. I would love to be able to export the text. If we're OCRing it anyway, let me export the raw text in something. But hey, for free, you know, I should stop complaining.
Well, especially if it works. One of the things that Evernote has is the Google effect with data, where they have master computers looking at everyone's data, creating better decisions for everyone else, you know, for everyone's data altogether. This is a standalone app. All the brains and all the smarts have to be right there. So I encourage people, if this is the kind of app that you need, give it a shot. It might meet your need.
All right, looks pretty cool. So you can pull images out of your camera store, so you can I'm just trying to figure out how I could use this for, you know, somebody sends me a cheesy PDF and I want to be able to search it, or, you know, something like that. I might be able to import something else in there. It's kind of a one-trick pony, but if you need that trick, it's a good trick.
Yeah, I do believe there was some kind of import feature.
Right, but the best thing, you know, free, completely free, really free, no ads. So good stuff. All right, what's next, my friend?
All right. Next, I got to go return to old faithful, old favorites as far as I'm concerned. And that's because my youngest is still young. He's only 8 years old. Lego City My City 2. Lego City My City was a game probably over a year ago. Basically, you are presented with a map of an entire city. There's a whole bunch of mini games you can do in the app. Most of them were like firefighters, police, catching criminals kind of thing. And this basically follows the same thing, but it also goes into like saving people from natural disasters kind of thing. It's a very G game, obviously, because it's by Lego Systems AS. E for everyone, 35,000 reviews, 4 stars, completely free to download, no in-app purchases, no ads that I saw anywhere on this. This is the kind of game I could put in front of my youngest one after he broke his toe, and he would forget about the pain of his toe for at least a couple minutes.
That says something. It's, you know, it's a narcotic.
It is a at least distraction. I don't want to say narcotic because I like being positive about Lego stuff, but yes, it did have narcotic-like effects.
No in-app purchases, so none of this pay to speed up the building of your Lego. Just download it and go.
Oh, yeah, and you build it right there. You just slam, 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 bang, you have your device. But one of the things that confused me the most of all, Mark, is if you take a look at the screenshots, first screenshot, second screenshot, third screenshot, and fourth screenshot. My son called himself the Flying Flusher because you are a spot-a-pot with a helicopter blade on top that goes around and puts out fires. And my youngest son thought it was hilarious calling himself the Flying Flusher.
Which you have to wonder what he's using to put the fire out with from a porta potty.
I was really happy he didn't ask that question, Mark.
Okay, let me read our last email from the night from Mike D. Yo, my name's Mike D, and I get respect. No, just me. Okay. He's asking a question about an app that Door already brought called Universal Copy. And his complaint is it doesn't work in the Samsung multi-window view. And he wants to know if there's another app that can do the same job or a way to get around that. And unfortunately, the answer seems to be no, at least as far as our resident expert knows.
Well, as far as my knowledge goes, there really isn't much you can do except for getting a different device. HTC used to be really bad at this. Motorola used to be really bad at this. Samsung is still horrible at this. Don't believe the hype out there, okay? Samsung is still horrible about putting metric tons of stuff into the kernel of Android and locking in and locking out certain things. When you're an app on their phones, you have to play by their rules or you will not work. And apparently what Universal Copier is trying to do is something that Samsung does not want to have its users have the ability to do. Knowing them, they'll probably attribute it to some kind of DRM or something else like that. I don't know. But Samsung devices still seem to me to be among the least compatible with these kinds of unique apps, because I have never found anything else that can do what this app does.
Yeah. In a related note, my Moto X Pure that I bought because it was the most Nexus-like of the non-Nexus devices finally got the May security update at the end of July. Not a sterling record there, Motorola, for a device that you're selling with no cruft, right? You're not Samsung. You're not having to recompile the kernel, everything. It's called the Pure Edition for a reason. The whole point of this was that I would get a near stock experience out of a non-Nexus device, but not only do I not have 6.1 that most every other Nexus person in the world has, but I didn't get the May security update until July. So shame on you, Motorola. But hey, I got something. If you're running a Samsung, you probably don't even have the January update.
Well, I don't know. Have you followed the interwebs and the reporting on this? Could it be your carrier not doing a stellar job, worse than maybe Motorola? Maybe like other carriers actually got it June?
This week it dropped for the first Motorola Pure device, Moto X Pure device.
Wow. See, that's the kind of thing that makes me worry. You know, the next update, let's just say September, are you going to get it?
And this is not a feature update. This is a security update. So do the math, people. May, June, July, for 3 months, my phone has been vulnerable to known attacks in the wild, and my manufacturer just didn't care. Now, I'm sure I could ROM it if I wanted to do that, but why is that my responsibility? Maybe it is. What do you think, Dor? With PC manufacturer, or with PCs rather, we kind of have this hybrid view of some things are the user's responsibility, some things are the manufacturer's. But other than, you know, take a car for example, other than major safety recalls, once you buy a car, it's up to you to make sure that the tires are in good shape and the brakes are in good shape and that sort of thing. Am I being unreasonable to expect the manufacturer, who's already made all the money they're ever going to make out of me, to keep pushing support updates to my device?
Okay, with a home computer, I'll say it's different because you buy it, you are root. There's no trickery. There's nothing you have to do extra than that. The first time you turn it on, you are the administrator of that device. So there's a certain expectation that comes with that. Phones, my logic is, you root when you want to become administrator, when you want to assume that responsibility. If you don't want to assume that responsibility, then you're a normal person. And as far as normal people are concerned, manufacturers and carriers need to be held to some degree. And my logic is this. We already pay monthly exorbitant fees, no matter what you're paying. Even if you're paying Project Fi $30 a month, guess what? They're still making money off you. So everybody else in the verse, whether you're with Sprint, T-Mobile, Verizon, U.S. Cellular, Boost Mobile, whoever, they're making money off you. To me, they should be held accountable to at least giving minimal security updates. Now, even if they deem it too much work, well, then they need to do something to make it easier and more affordable for you to get your next device. And I don't mean giving you the piece of crap phone for free or giving you $50 off a $700 phone. If, in my mind, if they're not going to provide you with timely updates, they need to then basically give you a new phone with a new OS on it in a reasonable amount of time, which, to be honest, for me would be a year or less.
And I think what makes phones different, and PCs as well, from say a VCR, which, by the way, I read an article today, the last VCR has been made. And the company sold 750,000 last year. So people are still buying them. But anyway, a DVD player, an MP3 player, the Roku. What makes phones and computers different is the nature of what we do with them. You know, the first smartphone was called a PDA, a personal digital assistant. It's personal, and it's an assistant. It has all your information in it, your contacts, your bank account numbers, your passwords. It's all there. Your PC as well. You know, we bank today using those two devices, the PC or the phone. We don't bank person to person anymore. Most of us. So it's a different class of device than your car or your you know, the Roku. My Roku occasionally gets app updates, and that's new features. But I look at those as a bonus. Hey, look, I got a new update to the Netflix app. It's a bonus. It's a surprise. I don't expect it. My phone, because of the nature of what it is and what it does, I expect it and I need it. And I think that the problem is that manufacturers want to sell you a Roku when really they're selling you a bank interface. And that's a problem.
Yeah, the amount of valuable, personal, identifiable information and critical information that goes through the stupidest of smartphones is a very rich resource for anyone who can figure out how to tap into that. That's why I do believe the idea of ransomware to some degree or something like that is inevitable. It's just a question of when and where and what fashion is going to take place. Now, a super tangent. Did you hear what Vladimir Putin said about Pokemon Go? I believe like
2 years ago. I am not familiar with that, no.
Well, he said he will not allow Pokemon Go in his country because he does not want to give the CIA all the information from every Russian that would install the app.
So that's a little tinfoil hat, but I can certainly see where he would think that.
Well, yeah, Niantic used to be a property of Google. Google still owns, I think, like 30% of it. And you can sign in with your Google account, and there's little doubt. Okay, another just mini tangent. My buddy works at Red Hat, and I said, and I asked him the other day, and he hasn't answered me back yet. Are you really mad right now at Google? Because there's no doubt with the amount of traffic going through Pokemon Go, Google is learning a lot about wide-scale network availability and automatic scaling and descaling kind of thing, which is going to give them a leg up in future endeavors like this. The amount of data going through that app is a lot. I mean, GPS data, and if you have the augmented reality part on, they see the pictures. There's no reason why they can't see the pictures that you're seeing on the other side of the camera.
That's true.
So, you know.
So no naked time Pokemon Go is what you're saying.
Or really naked time, I guess. My son got Pokemon Go too, so, you know. Yeah. I still love him.
I was almost tempted. I almost stepped over to the dark side. I started the download and then thought, what are you doing? And stopped it.
Yeah, I downloaded Ingress for a couple weeks. Right outside my door, there is nothing. A mile down the road, there's nothing. I have to go 2.5-3 miles, and then I hit one or two spots. And then I have to travel another 3 or 4 miles and hit two more spots. Now, I was told if I go to this park by my house, there's a whole bunch of stuff. Well, at that park, T-Mobile gets no service. So, guess what? There's nothing there as far as I'm concerned. Because perception is reality.
Virtual reality.
Or yes. Augmented reality. Yeah. Something like that.
All right, let's bring it home. Empty your tank, Dor.
Okay, the app I'm going to bring next is just like LEGO City My City 2. This is a second version of an app, and this is called the Sandbox Evolution, which was a second coming, if you will, of the game Sandbox, where you had to go through a lot of learning with materials and environments and electricity to make all kinds of things happen is what I'm going to say. And to be honest, the second coming thing was a little bit of a Freudian slip because in some ways you are, dare I say, all powerful, like godlike, if you will. This game is also the same kind of thing where you basically craft or destroy the different worlds with the sandbox. The part of the allure to me of this game is its 16-bit-ish nature. It literally looks like something that could have been on Super Nintendo. And if you really are a big fan of the new movie, they even have a new Ghostbusters pack where I hope you can kill all of them. Oh, wait, did I say that out loud? Sorry.
I just want to be the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
This is the new Ghostbusters, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't exist in this universe, so, yeah.
No, so close.
Sorry.
Haircut, no banana.
Yes. Yeah. So if you played the old Sandbox game, and you liked it to any degree, I highly encourage you this. This is more of a scenario-based sandbox, where the other sandbox was a building up from absolutely nothing, learning sandbox environment. Made by the same makers, once again, absolutely free. Does have in-app purchases if you want more, like, gems or coins or whatever, but you can do everything you need to do without paying a dime. It just, after an hour or more, in my experience, you can't play anymore for that day. But you do have daily stuff that will come up, and the next day you can pick up where you left off. And if you play more than an hour plus of a game in a night, maybe you need to watch some Netflix.
Or go outside and play Pokemon Go.
I wasn't going to say that there, Mark. Oh, man. I am really getting really super annoyed by this losing focus on the right window. I'm going to have to figure this out. And by that, what I mean is I'm going to have to roll back to an older version where it worked. Okay, now, it just so happens I'm going to say almost the same thing again. Godfire Rise of Prometheus game. Godfire the Godfire Rise of Prometheus by Vivid Games SA, mature 17 and up. In-app purchases, completely free to install, 117,000 reviews, 4.3 average rating, between 1 million and 5 million installs, don't see any version number. This is another one of those games I can tell people the visual quality of this game is once again really kind of crazy high. And I got these crazy high quality games from a YouTube video. Oh man, Any Kind Matthew, I believe was the name of the channel, where he had a whole bunch of high quality graphical games for Android. And this was the second one that I got off of that list. And it is pretty high resolution. I mean, when the guy's walking on wood on the floor, you can pretty much tell, oh yeah, that's wood. And it looks, you know, more real than fake, even though it's clearly animated styled. But it is high
quality. These are better graphics than the original Halo game.
That was on original Xbox? Yeah, I'll go for that. Yeah, this is definitely getting up there. And this is the kind of thing where this is one of the reasons I'm holding off on getting a phone, Mark. 4K is not, to me, the big selling point. It's more processing power and RAM to push graphics that I'm more worried about. And when these kind of quality, graphical quality become standard, I believe people are then going to start focus again once on gameplay, because it's going to be easier for everyone to do crazy graphics. I think it's only a matter of time.
I'm just really impressed with this. I'm watching this video for the second time. It is stunning how good these graphics are on a mobile PC replacement platform. It's very impressive. Now, the game doesn't look like one that I would want to play. I'm not into the Wizards and Dragons thing, but it's just visually, it's stunning. You really should go check it out, if only to watch the video. Godfire Rise of Prometheus.
Yeah, and it is one of, I don't want to say button mashers, but you really only have a very limited number of buttons, and there's not a lot of strategy from what I could tell when I was playing it. It's just tap as fast as you can, and then tap that other button as fast as you can, and then tap that other button back again as fast as you can, kind of thing. But yeah, I was more liking the graphics than the gameplay, aka I wasn't doing great, but I was still enjoying what I was seeing.
And that's, you know, if a game can make you enjoy losing, that's good gameplay.
Yeah.
All right, what's next?
Just crazy. Just absolutely crazy looking. Okay, next is going to be one more Mature 17 game, and this is another game that we brought. I know, man, this game was, the first iteration of this game was, I want to say, brought by Eric Sauce maybe 3 years ago. This is called Nova 3. Near Orbit. Nova 3 is a long-running series of games. Basically, first-person shooter. I believe it's Alien Invasion is the premise of this one. You're basically defending the planet, but the planet is in ridiculous ruins. Some of the battles take place upon their ship, and some of it takes on your home planet, kind of thing. This game has historically not been a long playing game, aka if you know what you're doing, an hour or so later, you're done the game. You beat the game. There's not much more to the game. But it typically will take you at least four plus hours to get to that point, because you have to learn along the way, you know, what to do, what not to do, who to shoot, how to avoid, kind of thing. This gameplay on this one, I'm going to tell you right now, is the kind of standard. Nova, I don't want to say, is becoming the doom of Android games, but the Nova series, I think, is really becoming a staple in how to do first-person shooters right on Android.
I can't comment. I'm just watching the video.
Yeah, and this is the kind of video where you would think they could literally take this exact same engine, put real voices behind it, and do cartoons using these graphics, and people would just sit down and watch.
You know, I always thought that about the Halo series, that if they just put all the cutscenes together, I'd watch that movie. And mm-hmm. this I can't hear it because I've got the audio muted for the show. But just watching the cutscenes here that they've got together, I don't know how much of this is gameplay. It doesn't look like much of it. It looks like it's mostly cinematics. But I would watch this movie. You know, maybe a 30-minute short, but I would watch this.
Right. Well, anytime you see the gun in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen, or you see yourself standing on a vehicle shooting, that's actual gameplay. And if you notice, that actual gameplay isn't very different, at least from what I can tell, versus the cutscene in Realms of Quality, where most of the time the cutscenes are much higher quality.
Pretty amazing. It really is. And it's compatible with all of my devices. I've got some old devices linked to this account, so that's impressive too.
Right. Now, this one is by Gameloft, mature 17 and up, 66,000 reviews. It is $7. Okay. This is the kind of thing where I encourage people. I'm actually going to bring another app up here next where you can put it on your device and you'll be notified. This is one of the better ones for sales that I've found. So you can put this app in that filter, and when the app comes on sale, you can be notified to buy it, because I cannot blame anyone for saying $7 pass. But you know, if this goes on sale for $1 or $2 and you don't buy it, you're missing out, is what I will say.
All right. Well, I want to hear about that app. How can I know if there are sales?
Okay. I forgot to even show the other game, so this one should be easy to show. No, it isn't. It still lost the friggin' focus. This is called App Sales, all one word. I am putting the link right now into the chat. Not spammy, not slimy at all, where a lot of these apps that I've seen, they are legitimately slime-ridden. With this app, it's very straightforward. It's very simple. Sales, price radar, watch list. Every 3 or 4 entries in the list is an ad, and it's very clear it's an ad, and you just scroll past it, and that is the entirety of the ads on the app. And there is a way to upgrade to premium, which I probably will end up doing just to support the developer, but I wanted to keep it as this blank slate as possible. Every day you'll get maybe one notification, sometimes two, with new apps that are on sale, or you can say turn off all those notifications. But when apps on my list go on sale, let me know via a notification. It isn't immediate, but it seems like maybe an hour after it goes on sale, you get pinged. So that's plenty of time for you to hop on and save some
money. How are they doing that? Are they scraping the store? There's not a RSS feed for that, is there?
Oh yeah, there is an RSS feed for the store. The problem is it gets over 3,000 new entries every minute. So what I will say is they are doing some kind of data-based solution where they're tapping into this API somehow and just scraping. My guess is they're basically sending a bot into the Play Store via the web presence and just scraping, and when they find changes, posting the changes. Because I can't believe they have people going through the store. And, I mean, maybe they're picking up on another source. Maybe a sister company or a parent company or an unknowing company is doing the legwork, and they're just picking up the
I guess they don't have to search the whole store. They've probably got a hot list that is curated, and then your own list that you curate. So it's going out periodically and looking up the entries of your list. That actually makes me feel a little better about this not being black magic.
Well, and I'll say this. There is a literal metric ton of completely crap, disgusting, scummy apps on the Google Play Store. And they're not doing everything, or else this application would be overwhelmed with those bad apps, because there's so many of them. And by bad, I just mean crummy or unwanted. Like Pokemon Go Ultimate, which was an app you could have downloaded last week. I believe only like 200 people downloaded it, but it basically was unwantedware on your phone. So I do think there's some kind of algorithmic prerequisites for them to even pay attention to your app, like minimum number of downloads or minimum number of reviews in combination thereof or something. Because most of the apps I look at, I've either heard of or I look at, and they don't look like crap. They look like fair apps, even though I don't want, 80%+ of my seat on their list, but at least they're not garbage apps.
All right. It looks like something useful. And, I don't know that I would use it. I don't have a watch list, but I can get behind that.
Yeah, and again, it's called App Sales, all one word, Best Apps on Sale by TS Apps. Completely free. The in-app purchases go to premium. The icon for it looks like a rectangular shopping bag with a white percentage symbol on it. So if you are one of those like Steam summer sale addicts, then this is the kind of app you need on your Android device.
All right, just bring your best. One more, and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay, let me just do a little tab. Huh. Okay, I'm going to bring this one strictly and solely based upon name once I get this stupid window thing to point at the right one again. Okay, this is called Rayman Classic, Ubisoft, everyone 10 and up, 99 cents to buy, no in-app purchases, top developer, only 572 reviews, 3.8 is the average rating. Current version 1.0.0, between 5,000 and 10,000 installs. So it looks like it just hit the market here a couple months ago. March 17th, I'm going to guess, is when it actually hit. And it's Rayman. It says the original Rayman. I can't even remember what system Rayman was for, Mark. I want to say Sega.
It looks very Sonic the Hedgehog-ish. So, yeah, I could go with that. I've never heard of it before.
Yeah. I remember seeing what I consider to be the annoying character in the game back in the day. But I was such a Nintendo fanboy. Everything else was just, it's not Mario. Ooh.
I mean, it looks to me like some developer said, what would happen if you slowed Sega down or Sonic down? It's pretty much identical gameplay, but slow.
And if you're a fan of that, or I'm going to guess this was not Sega. Yeah, Sega. I want to say
if only there were this source of information on the internet.
No, I'm going to now say Sony PlayStation 1. That's what I'm sticking with, and I don't know why. Because, I don't know. If you're the classic guy from that other type of console that I consider to be inferior or second class, or not Nintendo, then you might like yourself some Rayman.
Originally designed for the Atari Jaguar, 1995, and a PlayStation version was later developed, also ported to MS-DOS and the Sega Saturn in 96. Also Game Boy Advance and DSiWare.
Wow. Okay. So this thing's been a lot.
These are the original creators, Ubisoft. It's the same people. So it's their property. They've just ported it to modern hardware, which probably wasn't much of a port. Modern hardware is better than what they've got now. I mean, what they had then.
Yeah, and one of the pluses to those old systems is limited controls. Like we were saying earlier, you don't have to worry about 14 buttons. You only got to worry about a control stick and maybe, three or four buttons.
You know, the old Nintendo, A and B, that's all you needed.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about this. I don't know what he's supposed to be. I've never heard of this before, but it looks like Carmen Sandiego is in it. Mr. Dark, he looks like Carmen Sandiego to me.
And he has no legs, arms, or neck.
He's feet and head, on a body.
Just a little bit creepy.
I may sleep a little uncomfortably tonight because of this. Thanks, Dor.
Well, now the good thing is you can sleep uncomfortably every night.
All right, that's it. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 apps, good and true. They were unkilled by Madfinger Games. Control F, Search the Real World by Control F.io Productivity. Lego City, My City 2 by Lego Systems AS. Sandbox Evolution by Pixowl Inc. Godfire, Rise of Prometheus by Vivid Games SA, Nova 3 Near Orbit by Gameloft Action, App Sales, Best Apps on Sale by TS-Apps, and Rayman Classic by Ubisoft Entertainment, for all you people who say we don't say the apps often enough. So that's it.
You have 9?
Was there some? Did I miss one?
No, I only think I have eight.
1, 2, 3, 4.
To be fair, don't delete your list.
7, 8. Yeah, it's. I couldn't count. It is. I have 9 tabs open, but one of them is not a game.
I feel
the. It was the search for. I'm doing my research while we're doing. So, okay. It seems like we should probably have done more than 8 apps in over an hour, but there was color commentary there too. So, if you guys would like to show your appreciation for the door-to-door geek, I'm sure you could buy him Rain Man Classic, and that would make him happy. But maybe the easier way to do it would just be to go to patreon.com/AndroidAppAddicts and become a supporter. He has his set up to go monthly, so you would whatever you would put there would be what you would get every month. It doesn't have to be a lot. Just stand up and be counted. Anything else you'd like to say, Dor?
And I will say some of that money does go to Eric and Mark, period. And if you want to sit down and I'll buy you a beer or a drink of your choosing, I'm probably going to be at FossCon in Philadelphia August 20th, and I'm positively going to be at OLF Columbus, Ohio, October 7th and 8th. I did put in to give a talk there. I called it something cheesy like, I believe that pies are the future. Plug them in and let them lead the way.
Nice. On a slightly related note, I had got a strange email from a guy this morning. Said, hey, Mark, I'm in Atlanta for business today. You want to meet up? So I got to have lunch with a podcast listener. It was kind of cool. I told my boss as I was leaving, I said, I'm going to go meet a guy. I'm not back in 2 hours. Call the police. Because you never know. But that's happened a few times. I live in Atlanta. Atlanta is a hub for Delta. If you're flying anywhere on Delta, you probably got a layover in Atlanta. So it works out pretty nicely. It's been really nice meeting people. And I know Dor looks forward to meeting people at conferences. As I said today, it puts a face on what we do. We sit in an empty room and talk into the nothingness and hope somebody's listening. So it's really nice when we get that human feedback to say, hey, I like your show. I like you. So I hope you will look Dor up at any of those conventions. And he believes that pies are the future. I think that's all I've got to say. So I'll just say if you want to check out anything I've done, elementop.com is the place to go there. I do a couple of stuffs here and there. But mostly I'm the guy what gets in Dor's way when we're doing this show. Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. We'll see you back next week. It should be all three of us next week, I think. I'm speaking it into truth, so hopefully it will happen. And we'll see you later, because that's it for this week's episode of the Android App Addicts.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.